Hello and welcome to the Mystery of History podcast with your host, Talon Barkey. Today we will be discussing the Navajo Code Talkers in World War II and what critical importance they had in helping us win on the Pacific Front. Before I go in-depth on Navajo Code Talkers, I feel it's a little bit important for me to give some background of why and how they got involved in the war. Throughout World War II, many Native American tongues had been needed to develop codes. However, all these codes had still been cracked on the Pacific Front by the Japanese. It wasn't until one day when a man named Philip Johnston, who had been raised on a Navajo reservation and happened to know the tongue quite well himself, one day he visited the Marine Corps offices in Southern California and arranged a meeting with Major James E. Jones. Now, in this meeting, he pitched his idea of developing a code based off of Navajo tongue for implementation in the military. Philip figured that what the U.S. needed was an unbreakable code, and that this was our closest way of creating one, as Navajo language itself in its base form was already difficult to understand and decipher, and creating a code further complexing it would just make it an absolute nightmare for our enemies. The meeting was a success, and in March of 1942, Philip got to meet with Major General Clayton Vogel and pitch his idea one last time to have it approved by the higher-ups. The government would then go on and scout out under 100 men from a Navajo reservation to whom they'd enlist, and then eventually reveal that they would be code talkers. They couldn't let them know beforehand, as, remember, this is an unbreakable code we're trying to get, so the United States had to handle it with the utmost secrecy. It wasn't until after completing boot camp that these men were told of their secret task as code talkers during the war. They would later recall how the code came to be. They were told to use their language to come up with words representing each letter from A to Z, and then they were told to come up with code words for military terms. Then the men were put in a room and then expected to work out the code among themselves. However, it even seemed impossible to them because they couldn't all agree on the right words. After agreeing and figuring out their code, they devised a code that worked extremely effectively. They would send messages using Navajo code words to spell out words in English. For example, to say bear, code talkers would say the Navajo words that stood for each letter. It wasn't always that words had to be spelled out letter by letter. Some common military phrases, such as fighter planes, would quickly adapt nicknames like hummingbird in Navajo because of the loud and fast humming noise that they would make when flying. The program would have a graduating class of 29 members and eventually grow all the way up to 400. It wasn't until the summer of 1942 when these Navajo code talkers would be sent out onto the field to be used. This was primarily possible through the use of advancements in radio technology, as in the late 41, radio technology had vastly improved from equipment available 30 years before that. Which used vacuum tubes, and they were bulky, hard to carry. Now that they were small and battery-operated, they were able to be manned on the field anywhere and anytime. To see just how effective the Navajo code was on the Pacific Front against the Japanese, let's take a look at the Battle of Iwo Jima, in which there were 6 Navajo code talkers, and over the month-long course of the battle, they were able to transmit and receive over 800 messages without error. Another particularly impressive feature was that this system of code allowed them to translate 3 lines of English in under half a minute, and not over half an hour as was common with other code-breaking machines at the time. Marine leadership would go on to acknowledge and recognize the importance of the Navajo code talkers in the battle at Iwo Jima. The Navajo code talkers did such a great job of creating an unbreakable code that it still had not been broken by the Japanese by the end of the war, and not for years past. Because this code was so effective, and it was shrouded in so much secrecy, it has made it harder for people like me to research, and also made it way harder for the code talkers themselves to get any recognition during their time here. For example, in my research, I could only find 4 battles that they were cited to have activity at, which included Iwo Jima, as stated before, Okinawa, Guam, and Palau. Because the operation was not declassified until 1968, it would take years for the code talkers to get the recognition that they had deserved. In 1982, they would be awarded a certificate of recognition by President Ronald Reagan, and he also named August 14th Navajo Code Talkers Day. On December 21st, 2000, President Bill Clinton signed Public Law 106-554, which awarded congressional gold medals to the original 29 Navajo Code Talkers, and then silver medals to each of the nearly 300 soldiers who qualified as a Navajo Code Talker. And then later in 2008, there would be a Code Talkers Recognition Act signed by President Bush that recognized every Native American code talker in World War One and Two. Finally, they have gotten the recognition that they had deserved for their valiant effort in helping us win these important battles. It is important to understand the relationship between the Navajo Code Talkers and our multitude of victories on the Pacific Front during World War II, as without them, well, to put it in perspective, the Japanese had this thing called the 24-hour rule, in which that you were given 24 hours before you had to switch your code because the Japanese would have figured it out by then. And the fact that we were able to improvise, adapt, and overcome to this unbreakable code is a very commendable thing. Just to summarize today's episode of The Mystery of History, we discussed the Navajo Code Talkers, why they were there, their involvement during the years of 1942 through 1945, how the technology enabled these Code Talkers to be so effective on the field, and why they were so crucial to the many victories on the Pacific Front during World War II. Well, that's it for today's episode of The Mystery of History. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, I'm your host, Talon Barkey. Before I leave, I'd like to thank Shutterstock for supporting and appreciating the amount of education we bring to the table in this podcast. Really helps us out. Go check him out. Thanks again. Have a great evening.